following program is a collection of Stooges talking about the happenings in the automotive detailing industry. It is meant to be comedic and informative. The opinions expressed on the show do not necessarily reflect the beliefs of their peers, their boss, or their ad partners. There may be some cuss words because that's how grown-ups talk in the real world. If you are a young, please seek permission before watching or listening any further.
Welcome to the Detail Solutions Podcast. My name is Alex Russell, and I am your host. So waxes. Let's talk about waxes. You want a wax? I got a wax for you. So if you're watching it, I'm going to throw it up there again. If you haven't seen it, we got the Red Delight Carnauba Wax on sale. It's available now. Limited edition to only 50. Numbered and signed. If you want it signed, I'll sign it. Some people do. Hit me up. We're selling them $60 shipped inside the continental U.S. If you're outside of the U.S., let me know and I will get you a shipping cost and we'll send it out. We'll get it out to all over the world. We'll spread Noxy's stupid face eating that donut all over the world. Let's do it. We can't let Noxy outsell us. So please come on. You know, you guys are all hashtag Team Alex, so we got to win. We got to outsell Noxy, so let's go. If you're listening to us and you're wanting to know where you can maybe see that, I'll tell you what. You can find all of our links on the DetailSolutionsPodcast.com website. You're going to be able to find us on our Facebook pages, whether it's the podcast page, the discussion group. You're going to be able to find the links to the Instagram. And then you're also going to find links to the Apple and Spotify so that you can listen to us. Hopefully you already know where to find us if you are listening. We also have the preferred vendor page. It's our wonderful ad partners on there. Those are the people that help us do the thing that we do here at the show, you know, pay for a restream, all this fun stuff. So go support them because they support us. And it's all about, you know, supporting each other, helping each other. So by doing that, they're going to give you a discount. So there's usually a discount code. If not, you mention the podcast, they'll take care of you. There's also a quick link when you go on the preferred vendor page that will take you right to their website. So we try to make it easy for you. You don't have to go like, oh, I want something from Autofiber. Oh, I'm going to go to Autofiber's website. No, you just click the link, takes you right there. You buy some towels from Ian, punch in that code, save some money. And in return, they're gonna keep giving me money. And we're all going to have a laugh. Hashtag money, money, funny. We're also live on YouTube. It's Wednesday night. So we are doing this live on YouTube as well. So that is the Detail Solutions Podcast. And then the number one, that's the new podcast or the new podcast page on YouTube. And I have caught up with the episodes. So all the way up to the last one the other day with Matthew Good. Those are all up there if you want to watch any of these episodes. We also have TikTok. So that is the Detail Solutions Pod on TikTok. Please go give us a like, share, and a follow on there. I do like to post up about 3 clips a day from the past episode. So right now we've got Matthew Good's clips going up. So go check those out. It's good stuff. All right, we're like a month away from the big hangout up at Red's. So if you want to go to the Jess Carr Angel Wax training at Red's in Marietta, Georgia, That's going to be May 3rd through the 5th. That's a Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Come on down. Go to the web, go to angelwaxus.com, check out their training page. That's where you're going to be able to purchase your seat. Come hang out, learn some stuff from Noxy, learn some stuff from Rain. I'm going to be there recording some podcast stuff. So that should be a lot of fun. And probably just, you know, typical Alex and Noxy shenanigans while we're there. So make sure you check that out if you're interested. All right. I'm excited. Tonight we're doing a product spotlight for Lithium Auto Care. I was contacted by Lithium. They made my job super easy. They said that they're big fans of the podcast. I laughed at first and said, nobody's a big fan of this podcast, but no, they are, they've listened. But yeah, we've got their CEO, Bill Crowley on. So he's going to be on right after this commercial break. We'll be right back.
Knows what a detailer wants. Aquatech is a company founded by detailers for detailers.
Aquatech Coatings is a company that was founded on the frustrations that we all face as professional detailers. And that is why we set out to build a company that eliminates those frustrations, to provide excellent customer service, quality products, reliability, efficiency, products that check all the boxes as professional detailers we need and we want.
Find out why so many detailers around the world are loving the Aquatech difference. Join our team today at aquatechcoatings.com.
All right, and we're back with Bill Crowley. How you doing, buddy?
Great, Alex. How you doing?
Oh, you know, it's Wednesday night, doing a podcast, having some fun, going to learn about some pretty neat products here. So, yeah, it's good all around.
Well, thanks for having us, because it is true. We are big fans. I listen, and I'm like, McKenna, how can you get me on? Yeah. I'll see what I can do.
Yeah, it's really super easy. All you got to do is say, hey, can we come on the podcast?
Okay, Alex, make it sound harder than that. Yeah.
No, I'm as they say, easy like Sunday morning. So yeah.
I wish she would have lied to me and said, oh, it took a long
time. Yeah. I had to pull some strings. Like, yeah. Yeah.
Well, we're happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
No, that's awesome. I'm glad you guys are here too. Like I told you kind of before we jumped on, you know, I didn't really know anything about you guys, and you know, it's God, you know, there's so many chemicals out there. It's hard to kind of know everybody. So I had to do a little bit of research, you know, I had to watch some YouTube videos, you know, and it seems like you guys really do have some pretty legit stuff. So, you know, for myself and everybody else who's listening, who maybe has never heard of you guys before, doesn't know anything about you, give us a little, you know, a little background on the company and, you know, how you guys got started and where you come from and all that fun stuff.
Great. I'll try to make it as painless as possible.
Yeah.
it all started about 20 years ago, and our brand is a little more organic in the sense that I was flipping cars to pay tuition and playing around with different chemicals to make the paints look better. So I didn't have to flip the money out to go paint, repaint, and do things to move these cars. And as I was doing it, I was just playing around with waxes. And it turns out I had a good friend who was a chemist as well. And we fly fished together, and we were out fly fishing. And I said, hey, why is this stupid wax that I'm using? As I put it on the car, it turns to chalk, and it's like a nightmare to get off. He goes, you're just not that bright, are you? And I'm like, no, I'm really not. He's like, well, what they're doing is they're taking carnauba waxes and they're emulsifying them with solvents. And so they'll take turpentine, whatever's in it, soften up the wax, mix it up so it's pasty, and give it to you. As soon as you put it on the car, it flashes off and you have the solids left over. And so you just need to wipe it off sooner. And I said, that's a dumb answer. Wiping it off sooner, I'm wiping it off pretty quick. Let's do something different. And he just kept fishing, like, I can't hear you. And by the end of the ride home, you know, I had talked him into it. And what I'd started doing was mixing stuff in frying pans and stuff at home. He said, you get started and then call me when you get stuck. Sort of like, don't bother me.
Yeah.
I went back and started mixing stuff up and started using grapeseed oil as an emulsifier. Fire, avocado seed oil, anything I could find that wouldn't flash off, wouldn't dry out the paint, because if you ever put a solvent on your hand, as it flashes, it takes all the oils out of your hand as well. And so you have a white skin left that looks chalky and so forth. And so I started looking at what was actually good for your skin. What was a good emulsifier? So we started, when I sent him the formula I came up with, he said, "You're so far off. That's never going to mix." I said, "Wrong-o, buddy. Look at this." So he came in and started mixing it right for me. And the company actually started, it was called Autoderm. And we made tubes of wax that looked like they came out of a lotion tube, when there was only six other brands in the world, I think, at the time. And we were selling them, you know, back then, Alex, there just wasn't the distribution options that you have today. So you either were in O'Reilly, Checker, or some big auto parts store, or you didn't exist. And so we started putting these ads in the back of Porsche Club magazine and Excellence magazine and, you know, "Hydrate your car's paint for only $19. And back then you could buy a tin of good turtle wax for $3. And people are like, "19 what?" So
yeah,
we started selling them. And the funny thing was, is we were selling, you know, 800 or 900 bottles a month, maybe 1,000. But it wasn't enough to do a business with yet. And it wasn't, you know, just after cost of goods and everything, you're like, "Well, my wife's got a child on the way. I've got one already here. And I already had another business I had started." And so I thought, I need to do the proper thing and just pick one that seems like it's got the most promise. And I had no ins to get into the big boxes. So I thought, all right, let's go back and focus on my other business. And 15, 20 years later, when I sold my other business, I said, "You know what? I need to go back to doing what I really love. And that's mixing up stuff to make cars pretty and healthy and that sort of thing." And that was one good thing I got out of all my fly fishing hours with my chemist buddy, was he said, "Don't go for shine. Make the surface healthy again, what you're putting on it. And the shine is just going to follow." Always followed that motto of just using ingredients that do no harm to the paint surface, to whatever. Because it's easy to get a quick shine, a quick fix, and then 6 weeks later, the car looks worse than it did when you first put it on, if you're using the wrong stuff. And so we just started doing that again. And it was not a money needed sort of issue. It was a, what would we do if could? And that's how it started. And so we're very limited on the products that we launch. I think we have 18 products. They all have to tell a story. And if they don't bring value to the market, we just don't do it, because there's a lot of noise out there, as we know. There's a ton of good brands. So if we're not going to do something better, we're like, what's the point? And you and my mom have heard our brand, so we're feeling like we're making progress. And there's where we are. So that's how it got started. Wow.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. And you guys are, you know, here in the States, right? Like everything's made in the USA.
Everything we do is done in Salt Lake City. And some of the stuff we don't have the capability of, we farm it out. But our plan was originally in 2018, when I said, "I'm going to do this." And my wife shook her head and just said, "Have fun, you know." And we went and got a building. We got set up with all the equipment. We have all our own formulas. We do all of our own messing around. And right when we got everything set up, COVID started. And we ended up not being able to get raw materials to save our lives. You know, it was just like,
oh, wow.
We couldn't find sprayers. We couldn't get bottles. We couldn't get liquids. We couldn't get anything, because everybody wanted them for hand sanitizers, medications, wipes, whatever you could do. And so we had all this equipment just sitting there. And I'm like, this isn't really working out. And with, you know, at the time, we didn't know how long it would last, how long anything would do. So
2 weeks. 2 weeks is all we had to do. Right?
So I'd stay there late with nobody there and polish the big vats and go, "Hey, one day, baby, you'll be full of product."
Yeah.
And we ended up doing a little bit here. And then, you know, I have some other friends that are in the industry and they're like, "Don't be a fool, you know. Let the people that can do it right and get the supplies do it." And I thought, okay, I'll do it short term. But we ended up having such a good relationship that we split it up half and half. We do some in Salt Lake, they do some, and it just works out really, really good. So,
no, that's cool. So let me ask you this. So with the bottle shortages, of 2020. Is that why your guys' stuff looks like it comes in I think Jason Otterness referred to it as a barbecue sauce bottle or like a salad bottle. I mean, it didn't hit me until I watched that video and I saw Otterness say that. And I was like, oh shit, it does look like a barbecue sauce bottle, which is pretty cool, honestly. Like, cause it's just a different bottle. It stands out, you know, from, you know, you got all the products sitting on the shelves, you know, and everyone, you know, looks like a copycat of the other. But if you guys have a different bottle, it stands out, right? It looks unique, and it I would think that it would help.
You know, it's funny where the origins come from with that is it wasn't intentional, but we would always try to look different because I was tired of the, you know, the photoshopped Lamborghini / Ferrari mixed blend of a car with an eagle screaming across the front in a black bottle. Yeah. And you're like, okay, I get it. But really the origins came from the point of when I was mixing products, I would save ketchup bottles and I would save barbecue sauce bottles and everything to pour it into. And I started using a fry sauce bottle with a little tiny hole in the tip. And it was so easy to control how much you got.
Yeah.
Because if you think people put mustard or fry sauce or whatever, they're all about the portions as well. And so as I started using that, I got so used to it and so into it, and the detailers who were trying this stuff, they go, you know, we're from Utah, so fry sauce is a big thing. I think it was invented here, and that's where those bottles come from. And they're like, what is this, fry sauce? And they'd laugh. But then when they were done with it, they'd go, that was probably the most efficient dispenser we ever used.
Yeah.
And so it was intentional, but it wasn't at the same time. And we catch a ton of flack about it, but, you know, we'd rather have it be noticed than someone just passing it over. So
no, I think it's a really cool idea. Cause like I said, like, you know, I was looking at the bottles and I was like, man, these bottles are pretty neat looking, you know? But again, didn't put two and two together until I watched the video with Otterness. And then when he said that, I was like, oh man, that does look like a barbecue sauce bottle or, you know, whatever. And then I like, it's kind of the same thing, like in watching some of the YouTube videos to, you know, kind of just, you know, learn a little bit about you guys. So I don't come in here completely, you know, blind that kind of flip cap, you know, ketchup bottle kind of squeeze out thing. And it did look like when, you know, I was watching people, you know, whether it was the videos I watched of you guys doing some demonstrations on the products on that Corvette you did, or like I said, I saw Eddie's videos or whatever. It did look like, yeah, you get a more controlled squeeze. So you're not just, you know, squirting out a whole bunch of product and you're like, oh shit, you know, and then you're trying to like, you know, scoop it off with your finger and then put it back in, you know, take the cap off the bottle and put it back in the bottle and everything. Exactly. So, I think it's a cool idea. I think it's very unique and it looks good. So let's kind of, you know, for everybody listening, hey Ken, what's up? Ken Mercer from Stark Marine is watching us. So what kind of products do you guys carry? I know you said you had about 18 different SKUs. So, you know, if I'm a detailer, I'm, you know, looking to purchase your products, you know, what are the products that you have that are going to, you know, fit into my shop
line? So we do soaps, and our soaps are a little unique in the sense that we just don't use any kind of suffocant to make it clean. We actually use coconut oil, not for any other reason than it does amazing things for foaming. But the real thing that makes it clean well is we use eucalyptus oil. And once again, it's not some holistic thing. It just came from years of experimentation of watching high pH soaps and things like that strip down paint over time. And so we found that the eucalyptus does amazing things for the cleaning abilities. It smells fantastic. And it's just a great soap as far as lubrication goes and so forth, because there's just nothing in there that can dry out your skin, your soap or anything, or your paint or anything like that. So we make a series of soaps. We make, you know, spray on detailers with active amino polymers, with SiO2s and things like that. Really though, where the origin of the company came from is waxes and sealants and things like that, because that was sort of where I came from. And I give my age away quickly that way, but that was what we used and that's what we loved and kind of went from there. But really, in the last 3 years where we've been going, Alex, is, you know, trying to figure out where these new scientifically amazing ingredients fit into the world, and if they're snake oil or if they're really adding benefits and features that are giving value to the customer. Because honestly, our company is about, would you give it to your friend and would you go over to his house the next day and listen to what he has to say?
Yeah, exactly.
Pass that stupid little test, we don't launch it. And I promise you, we have, if you looked at the little back room of near my office where I kind of go in and toil around and mix things up, there's a couple of hundred bottles stacked up that I have to throw out every once in a while because we're constantly trying things, but one out of 30 of them ever makes the light of day. And that's just sending it to people to try. So it's one of those things where we really started getting into graphene oxide. And at first we're like, graphene, it's an inert object. It's not doing anything. It's not adding any value. You know, this big chemical people are talking about. Then we started breaking it down into graphene oxide and playing around with it. We started really watching what it was doing to plastics. And plastics is sort of that molecular soulmate to it, it seems like. And we were getting some incredibly cool results out of mixing various SiO2 resins and things together with graphene oxide and putting them on plastic. And that's where we were finding kind of the grail of, oh my gosh, look at this. And we were making stuff that would put plastic in and you couldn't get it off. And it looked fantastic. And we were telling people around the industry, it's 200, it's forever. And I was like, you can't say forever, dumbass. And we're like, no, it really is. And so we started this thing called Trim Cubes. And, you know, pre-doing stuff with rips and things like that, usually in my world, smells like a gimmick to me. I'm always like, it's got a bottle and you got a sweater. It's not real. But making this formula that we came up with is almost $750 a gallon to make it. And we're like, this will never fly. Nobody will ever buy this. So what we started doing was saying, how can we regulate the amount of product that we're using? So we started injecting these little medical grade foam pads with the product, and we could closely set up the machine to put in exactly 10 milliliters. We knew what the cost was and we knew how far it would take it. And it turned out that not only did that save as far as being able to control the amount of product, but it was a phenomenal way to apply it. And I'm like, get away from the sponges. They're kind of gimmicky. But then once I kept using them and using them, it was like the sauce bottle. I was like, there's nothing better. So that's one of the products that are called Trim Cubes that we've really been leaning into lately, and plastic technology and how to keep plastic from oxidizing. The other thing we really like to do is make surfaces as slippery as you possibly can, and just playing around with, you know, different kind of polymers and things like that, that will just keep cars clean and just not have anything stick to them if at all possible. So we're constantly looking at what we would do. And when we started our new building, what we did is we opened a studio there so we could shoot content, and we were all about doing the content. And pretty soon we ran out of mothers-in-law's and cousins' cars to do, so we could figure out. And someone in the meeting's like, well, let's just start a detailing studio. I'm like, oh, that'll be very hard. But once we did it, it's kind of like those, those beauty colleges where you go in and you get a good deal on a haircut, but you know the kid's 19 years old and never had a pair of scissors. So we started doing just details on a regular basis, and we had excellent technicians. It wasn't the kid 19, but we hired them to not only test our products, and then we said, now you're going to start detailing them on real world problems. And they were excited about it. And so every day we're out there and someone will pull in their car and they'll actually pay us money, and we get to learn on their car the whole time. And it's been kind of fun.
Listen, that's a win-win when you get paid to do your own R&D, right? Like, yeah. This isn't like, oh, how much money are we spending in R&D? It's like, how much money are we making in R&D?
Yes, exactly. Right? Making money, is that what you're supposed to do? Jeez, I'm confused.
Yeah. No, I like the idea of the cubes, for the trim stuff. In fact, some of the stuff that I was seeing when I was looking you guys up was that seems to be a very popular item on your guys's, or out of the items you guys sell, that I kept seeing that kind of pop up a lot. So with putting the 10 mils of product in these cubes, and you said you could kind of measure it to see how far it goes. Exactly how far does that go? I mean, can you get a, average full car out of one of those cubes, or, can you do a full on avalanche with one, old school avalanche with one of those cubes? What's the actual longevity of it?
We said we could measure it. We didn't say we could give an actual accurate answer. So,
I mean, I'm just curious from what you guys have seen. I mean, I'm sure you guys have applied it enough that you guys can kind of gauge an average, right? I mean, like, I guess it's kind of the same as when people ask me, how long does a 50 mil bottle of Aquatech last? And I go, well, depends on how heavy you lay it down, right?
So it's funny. So one of those kits, they come with four little sponges. Technically, if you've done it before, you can do an entire car, sans the avalanches, an entire Jeep, but an entire car with two of the cubes, and we got that gives you some flexibility to go do your wife's car because she's going to want it now, or if you screw up, you can fix something with the other two. But we see we see it go all over the place. And if you've never used them, people are calling us, I did my part and I'm out of my cubes, and you're like, what did you do? So you get, no matter what you say or do, you'll find the extremes to every on the spectrum of either side. But usually you can do 1.5 to 2 cars easily.
Yeah, that's not bad then. Yeah. And then what's longevity on it? Is it gonna, wash after a couple of washes, or is it something that, will hold on pretty decent?
So we claim forever. People said we were full of what. So we've had people on YouTube and stuff like that. I think the world's record now is to call us out was 1,450 washes. I couldn't believe that they kept doing it. It was fun. He's a good man, but he's like, nothing lasts that long. And so I'm going to prove it. After 1,450 washes, he's like, okay, you got me. So we've seen it. A lot depends, as you know, with coatings and all that. Environment plays a big role. Yeah. But if somebody has to apply it twice, we would give them back their money, cut off an appendage, and mail it to them with an apology note. Hey, we're very, very sorry. Because we have cars that, it's funny, Alex, because our junkyard has the looking cars in the entire country. Because we spend so much time there just coding anything we can get our hands on to see what it does to bring it back. You can walk through there and literally see junkers in there for 3 years that have a bumper that looks brand new.
Shiny trim on it. Yeah. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, you guys are in the business of making money, to an extent, right? So you really can't have something that'll last forever, because then nobody will ever buy anymore, I remember years ago when I was working at the car wash, I think it was when Black Pearl tire, Forever tire dressing came out, and I was talking with the owner of the car wash. I was like, man, we should get this stuff. It looks badass and it lasts forever. And he goes, hey, asshole, I want people coming back every week getting tire shine. Like, that $3 adds up, I don't want to coat somebody's tires and we don't have to do it again. So,
and the funny part is it didn't last forever. So everyone would have been fine.
So listen, let's do our first commercial break and we'll come back and we'll talk a little bit more about some of the other products you guys have to offer.
Perfect.
So we'll be right back. Your ultimate partner in automotive detailing. Elevate your detailing game with our premium microfiber towels and applicators, meticulously crafted for protection. Unleash the power of precision and achieve that showroom shine. Autofiber, where innovation meets immaculate finish.
Upgrade your detailing experience today. Visit autofiber.com and use the code DSP for 10% off your order. The difference is in the details.
Okay, we're back. Okay, so I know you kind of talked about like the waxes and the cubes and everything. But one of the things I want to ask you about, because I saw a couple of videos on it and it seemed like it was, you know, kind of a pretty good thing, is it looks like you guys make some pretty good interior cleaners and protectants. So I kind of want to talk about that, because I know a lot of us these days don't like doing interiors, but you know, they still got to be done. And you know, from what I've seen is you guys have a really good leather cleaner, and then you guys kind of have the two different variants of protection, right? You have like the old school, you know, paste, you know, Vaseline style, you know, in a tin can, and then you have like the regular spray on. So let's talk about those for a few minutes.
Well, you know, what's funny is, as much as I spoke about our soaps being natural and things like that, we really aren't pro natural or pro not, because what we found is different chemicals and different substances work different on different surfaces. And so right. When it comes to biological surfaces like leather, we usually tend to be more on the organic side. But that's usually with the older leather and stuff like that, as the newer leathers have the urethane coatings and things on. So right. We adjust the formulas to match those types of things. But, you know, the one thing you get when you go to the car shows and you do all this stuff is, well, why do you even sell a leather product? Mine's got a coating on it. It doesn't even penetrate that. But the thing that I don't think people realize is, if you don't take care of those surfaces regardless, and I don't care if you did rub Vaseline on or peanut oil or whatever you did, but if you hydrate those and keep them from drying out, the leather underneath will stay great and you won't get the wrinkles and things like that. Exactly. We've actually tested that theory, because, you know, it left us scratching our head after a couple of times, go to SEMA and people would look at your products and go, that doesn't work. This says all natural. My coating is urethane over my car. We're like, so what happens if you don't touch your urethane or clean it or do whatever? So we do both ways. That was a long-winded answer.
But I like that. Cause like I said, you guys have kind of that old school 10, and then you kind of have like the new school spray, you know, and it kind of, you know, goes for both those things that you just said, right? Like the old school leather and the new coated leather.
So, you know, what we try to do too, Alex, is make our brand as authentic as possible, and form follows function. We try not to, we like things to smell good, but we don't go out of our way to like, oh, it's all about the smell. It's all about this. It kind of follows, the formula kind of follows what happens to it. And so with our products that you spray on, they do have conditioners and polymers in them for the urethane coatings, but at the same time, they have a good feel, and you can use them on leather as well if you went straight up leather. And they're just leave no harm kind of thing. Moisturize, hydrate, and as cliche as it may sound in these days, is we went back and looked at beauty products. What's good for skin? What's good? What if I was a dermatologist? What would I recommend? And we wanted to see how those kind of products played into the automotive industry. And it's not an old metal by any stretch. You know, lots of people have used that in their sense, but that was where we started with it, and ended up with only three products because we didn't feel like we needed to go much further than that. The real thing though that we're working on now as far as leather goes is I have an affinity with, let's call it a hatred for shiny leather. And that's leather like shiny steering wheels, where your hands have been on them, and no matter what you do, it looks like that old Cadillac your dad drove and the steering wheel's glazed over and it's leather, but it looks like it's plastic. And so we've been playing around with various formulations and mixing it with melamine, you know, your magic sponge. And we've come some formulas that just are blowing us away for what they'll do to bring leather back to its original matte sort of feel and matte look.
Right.
I'll send you some. And the packaging is finished, and they're going to start putting them together probably in another week. But I'll send you some. It'll blow you away when you mix. It's kind of like mixing cereals. Good when you eat it dry, throw some milk on it, and the magic really comes together. And that's sort of what we did here, is formulated these two things, and they clean twice as good together as they did by themselves. And so you'll really like it.
Nice. And from what I've seen from some of that stuff is it looks like both of your leather conditioners can give, you know, whatever the client wants. So you put it on and, you know, work it in, and, you know, if the client likes that more shiny kind of look, it'll be shiny. But if you want kind of that more OEM look, then you can use a towel to kind of like level it down or kind of wipe off the excess. And then you get like a little bit more of an OEM shine with it.
Yeah. And that's sort of what we're always after, is what did it look like when it was on the showroom? What did the factory intended to look like? You know, because we love to go to car shows and we love to see, you know, that attention to detail, the keeping things original. And there's no one out there spraying silicones on their leather and stuff like that and these things. And so we kind of follow suit too. Where's the fountain of youth for this stuff? And how do you keep it looking the way it was supposed to look?
So. Yeah, no, that's awesome. And then the other thing I saw, and it looks like it might be part of the new line or whatever, is the G line. So explain that. Is that because it's graphene products, or are you just straight up G's? And...
we like the letter G. So once again, you know, necessity sort of is the mother of what we do, and we don't set out to say we're going to change the world. As opportunities come to us, we look at it. And I have in my neighborhood some people who are car guys like myself, and one of these fellas actually owns a motorsports dealership where they sell, you know, skidoos and all this stuff. Yeah. And he came to me and said, "Hey, I heard you're pretty handy with a frying pan. Can you mix me up something that will stop all the ice and snow from sticking to our snowmobiles? Because once it does, they start to weigh down in the front and that you don't get as much lift and going through the powder." And he goes, "It's just a pain." Yeah. And so I chuckled and said, "Sure, I'll do it." Knowing that I wasn't going to put effort into it, because we'd worked on a formula like that a couple of years ago and never did anything with it. But it was made to be ultra hydrophobic and slick. And I went back and looked at it, and it was kind of antiquated and it wasn't very stable, and mixed it up, and it kept separating and doing whatever. But then we sent it off. I gave it to Brian and said, "Here, go try this." 2 weeks later, the door's knocked. It's dark outside and it's cold. He's like, "Come out here." And I'm like, "No, it's cold. No, come out here." And you go out there and he's got these four snowmobiles that didn't have any ice or snow on. He goes, "It's amazing. Nothing." Because usually these would be cake, you know, after the drive when all the snow, mud and snow. And I'm like, "Very cool." You know, didn't think much about it. And yeah. He goes, "Will you mix up some more?" And I said, "Sure." And then we started possibility for other industries that we normally wouldn't look at. So the G series turned out, and I told Eddie Cole on this, you know, and he kind of laughed. I was like, "You know, buddy, I did." He goes, "Well, what's it for?" I'm like, "We don't know. It's just really slippery." What the hell do I do with that? But the funny thing is, so we didn't think about it for the automotive side. We are going to sell that stuff and sell it to him, and wherever it went. And then he kept making requests, and we're starting to see this huge, you know, possibility of things that we love plastics, and we love how to keep them slick and looking good. And we love other things that are good in the power sports side. So we started developing it. But I came in, Alex, to make a long story a little less long. And one of our tech guys, I had asked him to coat a couple of panels with this. We called it Avalanche, and it's this snow non-stick stuff. I said, "Coat a couple of panels on my truck with that. I want to see, you know, how it looks when you're done." And he coated it, and I got distracted or did something, drove home, forgot all about it. Didn't even thing to ask him. I mean, 3 weeks later, after 2.5 weeks of just snow and salt and sleet and hail, I get out of my car. I'm walking from the parking lot into the building. And I look over, and there's two panels on my car that or my truck that look completely clean. I'm walking over there, and yeah. I'm looking at them. And I'm doing this. I'm like, what the? What is that? I'm rubbing them, trying with my finger, and the rest of them had this film of salt on it. And I go into Riley, and I'm like, what panels did you do on my truck? He goes, what are you talking about? Remember 3 weeks ago? He goes, oh, I'll show you. He goes outside, and he goes, damn, it was those. And we started thinking, all right, there's some possibilities here of, you know, what it can do for the automotive industry, what it might do. And so we started building on the line, and we started, you know, seeing where we could add value with graphene and blending of ceramics and things like that, the two of them together, what would happen. And that's kind of how it started.
And so with the G-Line products, I mean, are those mostly just like exterior type, like sealants and sprays and stuff
that? And that's sort of the only place the formulation, you know, or the foundation really worked well for it.
Yeah.
So, and once again, we didn't try to push it as, marketing 101 says you must have a complete line covering all this as a defensive mechanism from your competitors taking away, you know, it was like, all right, that's where it works. That's where we'll use it. So,
right. So for anybody who's looking at your line, you know, is there like any draw to definitely going with the G line over the regular line, or, I mean, do they kind of do different things?
They do different things, and it depends on what you're after. So we've got some, you know, if you want a graphene product, we make one called Mudslide, for example, which is a phenomenal graphene spray DIY. And just every day we have detailers pull up that are in Salt Lake. Oh man, that stuff you sent me the other day, look at this. I put it on my wheels and this is what happened, and this, and we've tested it for a year before we ever give it to anybody. And so we kind of have expectations that they're going to be happy with it, but that's sort of, that sort of reinforcement on a daily basis of people actually coming to our facility just to tell us what transpired. It just kind of, it's fun to do. And so that's
pretty cool. So, I noticed that, I mean, it looks like, I guess you've kind of made the change. Most of your stuff comes in, what is it, like 16-ounce bottles, I think, for the most part, or 18-ounce bottles or something like that. I think I did notice that you do have some gallons on there, but I know, like, when I was watching some of the YouTube stuff, I think it was before you guys launched the gallons or whatever. So is this primarily, like, targeted towards DIY, or, you know, are you guys kind of like, you know, hey, money's money, and whether it's DIY or professional detailers, we'll sell to whoever.
You know, we sell to so many detailers that we had no idea. It's kind of like launch the Macintosh and watch who uses it. Oh my God, everyone's an artist, you know, and we sell to so many detailers we didn't even know. And we, you know, once again, we're not that bright, but after a while we see a pattern and we're like, hey, what if we offer gallons? Novel idea. Yeah. But the funny thing is, Alex, is we mix things in very small batches. And when you throw gallons into it, it totally disrupts the entire flow. I mean, you don't get many gallons out of a 50, you know, 160 gallon stainless tube, you know, bin that you're doing it. And so we always kind of just, do we really want to run down that road? They're expensive to ship. They're hard to get in one piece. But the demand kept coming up. So now we'll be launching just about everything we do in gallon sizes. And that will be, that'll be coming out, you know, pretty much mid, probably first part of June. So I was going to say mid-May, first part of June, where everything will be available. And I can just tell you, everyone from my team is watching right now. They're like, oh, what did he say that for?
Yeah.
Dumbass.
Yeah. This shit's not going to be ready till next year. What is he talking about? Yeah. You're going to have to go on. Hey, we got to get this shit going. I just announced.
Yeah, I told Alex what we were doing. Get your ass in here.
Yeah. No, because I mean, it's, you know, I mean, obviously the professional detailer always wants to buy things in gallons, right? It usually ends up being a little bit cheaper. You know, and then on top of that, it's, you know, we're doing more volume than kind of the DIY or, you know, just the, you know, the guy in the driveway, you know, whatever. So, I mean, those bottles go through pretty quickly, but it depends because sometimes I prefer buying in bottles. I mean, I don't do a lot of like wash and sealant jobs or, you know, things of that nature. So usually when I buy sealants, I'll buy them in the smaller, you know, 16 ounce, 18 ounce bottles or whatever, because I'm not doing enough to buy a gallon. Yeah. You know, I mean, it would, you know, last me forever. You know, I mean, I did one today. It's probably the first one I've done all year, you know, so far. So, you know, so I think it's kind of good, you know, that you do have the gallons for, you know, some of the things, because I think that there's, you know, obviously like soaps and things like that, you're going to use a lot of like gallons definitely. But I think there's probably a lot of detailers out there like me that, you know, might, you know, use your guys's product, but maybe don't do a ton of services that way. So the bottles are a better route to go.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. Had we looked, I spent my whole career humping people's legs, trying to get them to buy products from me. You know, and so when I started this company, I'm more like, I'm going to build what me and my buddies like. And
yeah,
you know, if I don't bring home a check, honey, forgive me. And
yeah,
she wasn't that forgiving, by the way.
But yeah,
it was one of those things where you look up, and if we started out in gallons, we probably would have had more traction with the pro detailers, because we've never met a pro detailer that doesn't come back to us and go, that stuff is dope. I really like that.
Yeah.
But in today's world, as you know, there's 550 brands, and 520 of those are just OEM rebranded stuff. And so people don't pay a lot of attention to it. And they look at it as, oh, that's a consumer grade thing. They're doing X or Y. And we kind of went at it backwards. And so, you know, we just thought we'll distribute it how the water flows. And if it, whatever works will happen. And it just, detailers started coming. And at first they were, I use a lot of stuff. And let me tell you about this guy and this German brand and this Korean brand that kicks your ass. And we're like, I don't think so, because we've used them all. You know what I mean? And they're all good brands. Yeah. And we love them all. But, you know, we go out, and if we're not dumb, we don't, but we don't use things in a vacuum. If we can't,
right,
everyone that we're up against, we're kind of embarrassed to say otherwise, you know. Yeah, but you're number six, you're not as good as those other six. Who wants to have a product like that?
No. Right. Yeah, no, I think there's, you know, there is a lot of saturation in the industry, but I think that there's, you know, a place kind of for everybody. Maybe. Because, you know, there's gonna be people that are always open-minded and willing to try out something different, you know, because you never know. I mean, if all you did was eat pizza, you know, every day and then never tried a hamburger, you're like, I don't like hamburgers. Well, how do you know? You never tried one, right? So like, you know, how can you say you don't like a product or you don't like whatever if you haven't tried it? So, you know, I think there's definitely, you know, a place. And I've seen, you know, it's crazy with this industry. I've never seen a lot of brands or product companies really fail. You know, yes, there's some that are highly successful and super popular or whatever, but it seems like, you know, everybody can kind of survive. And again, I think it's because there's just so many detailers out there, and some people are willing to try stuff and, you know, and not, you know, just be pigeonholed into one brand. So I think it's
pretty cool. Yeah, I do too. And I, you know what, early adopters, I wake up every morning and I'm grateful for them, because without them, I never would have had a career from 20 years ago. It's always those guys who are willing to try new things. And we kind of look at it as almost like the beer industry. There's a lot of them, but you're always willing to try.
Oh,
you know,
exactly. So. Yeah. And listen, man, you mean just because, you know, somebody doesn't like, maybe they don't like everything that you have, but they like one product you have, right? You know, I mean, that was, you know, one of the greatest things I ever heard from Bob Phillips, you know, was he told me, he said, look, he goes, when I go to people's shops, he goes, I'm just happy if they have one P&S product in their shop. He goes, they don't have to have the whole line. I'm just happy they have one, you know? And it really made me think, like, you know, yeah, I mean, that is kind of cool. You know, if you can sell one thing to one person and they're using it, you know, like, and that's a good thing. You know,
that's basically how I got my wife. Find just one quality that you like about.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think the same too. I think the same too. I mean, I don't know what that one quality is yet, but you know, happy. I think I duped her pretty good somehow, some way or another. Yeah. Listen, Bill, let's do our last commercial break and then we'll come back and we'll wrap
up. All right. Up. Sounds great. So
we'll be right back.
The leading provider of tent, paint protection film, and ceramic coatings. Experience the transformation as you cool down your vehicle and elevate its curb appeal with Audubon's window tent. Ditch rock chips and scratches by fortifying your paint with Audubon's cutting-edge paint protection film. And for an additional safeguard, add a ceramic coating. Backed by an unwavering lifetime warranty, Audubon's products form automotive armor with no limits. Visit AudubonFilms.com to delve deeper into the realm of automotive care and protection.
All right, Bill. Listen, I really like this episode, man. You know, I mean, I like learning about new things. I like hearing about new things, meeting new people. I think sounds like what you guys got is a pretty solid product. And you know, kind of what I got from some of what you were saying too is it seems like you guys are pretty green with your products as well. You know, because you mentioned a lot of like the coconut and the eucalyptus and things of that nature. So I think that's another, you know, pretty cool aspect of the line too, you know, that you know, necessarily if it gets on you, it's not gonna kill you in a sense.
Yeah. Well, we do have other products that we recommend, gloves and stuff, but yeah, I mean, if you can be green and you can be sustainable, then that always take that direction. And
yeah, no, that's cool, man. So listen, I, you know, thanks for, you know, give a big pat on the back to McKenna for, reaching out and setting this up, because like I said, I definitely enjoyed this episode. I had a lot of fun learning. If anybody's listening, and you know, wants to try you guys out, you know, what's the best way to, you know, contact you guys or find out information, website, Facebooks, you know, whatever you guys
got? Well, they can go to our website at lithiumautocare.com and they can find us. We have distributors around the world that carry the product. You can find it on a lot of third party sites and a lot of detail shops carry the stuff. I mean, really do, or you can just pick up the phone and you'll get a live person answering it every single time. And we'll help you, direct you, have a question about what to do with a sealant, how long to leave a coating on before taking it off kind of thing. We're there to help you. So you can always just give us a holler as well.
Nice. That's awesome. dang it. I just had one last question I was going to ask you and then I lost it. I meant to ask you earlier. So do you guys offer white labeling or are you guys just strictly like, no, we're just going to make our own stuff?
We don't offer our particular formulas with someone else's label on them, but we have made a number of different things for people,
okay,
you know, that are asking for, you know, some, I need something for a stainless steel Tesla truck. I'm going to sell millions of them. You know, we'll
mix
up stuff for guys like that all the time. And, you know, but our own formulas, we kind of keep our label.
No, that's cool. So Essentially, what I'm hearing is if somebody is looking to get something made in the U.S. so it costs them less money, Jason, like, they could reach out to you and get something made.
We would be happy to take them as far as we could. Yeah,
Jason and Mike. no, we're trying to find a quick detailer that we can get here in the U.S. because our quick detailer we get from Japan and it just costs a shitload of money shipping from Japan. So we're trying to find one that we can get made here in the U.S. and make it a little bit cheaper. So, yeah. Oh man. Well, listen, Bill, I appreciate you doing this, man. Thank you so much. You know, I'm excited to kind of, you know, now that you guys are on my radar to, you know, kind of follow you a little bit more, you know, check out what you guys got going on and see how you guys go and things like that. And, you know, would love to, maybe get you back on, you know, down the line or something. Maybe if we come up with a topic that, you know, you might be a good fit for, and yeah, just kind of go from there, man. Appreciate
it. As you do the podcast on 100 ways not to do it, call me. I'll be your guy.
Yeah. Listen, I think I could probably get everybody in the industry on that one. I think everybody's got their ways of where they went wrong. Yeah. We'll call that episode "Made a Left Turn at Elmwood."
Yeah, exactly. You
know? That's a Bugs Bunny reference for all you young guys out there and gals out there. So, well, listen, Bill, you take care, man. Have a great rest of your evening. And we'll talk soon.
Thanks, Alex. I really appreciate it. And thanks for having us on. And I have enjoyed it completely.
Thank you, sir. All right. Take care. Talk soon. Bye. All right, everybody. So that was Bill from Lithium Auto Care. Listen, all the questions I had tonight were kind of legit. I didn't really know anything about them. did a little bit of YouTube watching just to kind of check out their stuff. And I'm kind of, you know, stock the Instagram page and the website. It definitely looks like, you know, they make some pretty good products, some pretty neat products. You know, I think it's definitely, like I said, it's one of those things that, you know, there's a spot on the shelf for just about anything and everyone. And if you give it if it's worth a try, give it a try. So definitely check them out. Like you said, it's lithiumautocare.com. And yeah, that is it. I am going to head out. Please make sure you go like, share, follow, subscribe, hit that notification button anywhere that you're listening. Please leave us a review. 5-star review would be awesome. If you're on Apple and you have the time, leave us an actual review, write us a review. Just like you ask your clients to help you out. Or leave a review for your shop. So it helps you with Google. Does the same thing on podcast pages. It just puts the show in front of more people that are looking at automotive podcasts and will help the podcast grow. Because without you guys listening, there is no podcast. So that is it. Make sure to hit me up if you want some Red Delight wax. Remember, hashtag Team Alex. We got to beat Noxy. Can't let him outsell us. So let's go, people. Please, I need to get rid of these things. The wife started yelling at me. Have a great day, night, week, whenever you're listening to this. I'm Alex Russell. Until next time.